What you're about to listen to has the power to completely change your life, taking you from where you might currently find yourself to where you ought to be. This is the Word of God coming to you from Christ Family Ministry.
Father, we give you praise. Mandaraba calabrata santaraba calabra calabra la prata sofregedo santaraba imbrata santaraba calabra calabra. Father, we give you praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise. Lord, thank you for your presence. Thank you for your love. Thank you because of who you are to us and who we are to you. We bless you. You've captured our hearts. Thank you, Lord. You consume our lives with your love. Thank you, Father. Tonight, breathe upon your word. Declare that eyes will see, ears will hear, and hearts will understand. I yield my tongue to you like the pen of a ready writer, that through these lips of mine you will speak your word to us. Think through my mind, see through my eyes, and speak through my lips. I give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. 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 Yeah. Hallelujah. So we've been looking at the topic, metamorphosis. Amen. We say metamorphosis means to be transformed. And the process of transformation has to do with growth. Amen. The process of metamorphosis has to do with growth. If you're not growing, you cannot be transformed. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Romans 12, verse 2. Paul says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Notice, he says, do not be conformed. Do not take after. Do not pattern after. Say, but be transformed. That means be. To conform means to take after. To adapt to a particular mode of thinking. Or say, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That means as a Christian, you will change after you get saved. You know, some people believe that if you're a Christian, if once you get born again, you don't need change. If you don't need change, then you cannot enjoy all the benefits that God brings. You can all testify that what Jesus came to give is a better life. John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that you may have life and have it how? More abundantly. Now, the manifestation of that abundant life, which he has given to you, is going to come through transformation, not conformity. So, a believer that does not grow and lives in conformity will not be able to manifest the abundant life of God. And part of that abundant life is not just wealth and riches. It's you carrying the glory of God and ministering it to people. You remember what Jesus said in Mark 16? These signs shall follow them that believe. Are they believers here? Yes, if you're a believer here, can I say your hand up? Good. The Bible says these signs will follow you. Amen. They shall cast out devils. Amen. So every person here should be able to cast out devils. Yes, amen. Amen. They will speak with new tongues. It's part of a transformation. It's part of the abundant life. He says they will take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, Kai. It will by no means hurt them. You are above poison.
Amen.
You are above toxic things in your body.
Amen.
It will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and the sick will recover.
Yes.
He didn't say when they lay hands upon the sick, maybe they will recover. No, he said they will recover.
Yes.
And this is not a promise to a pastor. This is what follows believers.
Amen.
This is part of the abundant life package. That when you stand to speak, demons will be running. But you know how you begin to see. And listen. It's not a life you are going to have. It's a life that you receive the day you receive Jesus. You already have this life in you. But it is through the process of transformation that this life becomes a vital reality in your life. If you don't grow, you might not see these things. Do you understand? So you keep wondering, how come I'm drinking deadly things? It's hurting me. How come I can't deal with satanic issues? How come I picked up a serpent, it stung me, it bit me. How come I laid hands upon the sick, it didn't recover? Are you with me? It's through the process of growth. It's a change in your what? Mindset. Those of you who are here for prayers today were talking, right? What Jesus did for us is the legal part of our inheritance. But we need steps of faith, growth, to make it a vital reality in our lives. How many of you know what I just said? If I make a deposit of 10 million naira in your account, it's legally yours. Yeah, receive it. It is legally yours. But it doesn't mean it's vitally available until you go to the bank. So there is a process. You go to the bank. And then you probably sign a check. Or use whatever document. Then you will wait. How many of you know you can't just go to the bank and say, hey, pastor said he put 10 million naira in my account. Can I have 500k there just to start? They will ask you, where are your documents? There are modus operandi for how this money that is yours. Nobody's disputing the fact that it's your money, but there is a way to get it. Nobody's disputing eternal life in you. Nobody is disputing abundant life in you. But the Bible is saying that there is a way to make it what? A reality in your life. To make it manifest. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 12. Quickly. It says, for the equipping, this is the reason God gave us pastors, apostles, and prophets, and teachers, and evangelists. So he himself gave some, okay, back up to verse 11. He gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some to be evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. He says, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body, a body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. That means we are coming. Do you see? Until we all come. That means vitally we are not all there yet. That means there is a level you know him. There is a deeper level to know him. To a perfect man. Who is a perfect man? Christ. That means there is a way God wants you to know Christ. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of the anointing and the anointed one. Say, that's me.
That's
me. So refuse to be a baby all your life. Refuse to be a baby Christian all your life.
Babies are cute, but nobody wants them that way for 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. Say, praise God, my baby is not growing. I'm just so grateful to God. The baby is so cute. I think you are sick if you share such a testimony. Now, so let me put the scenario now. You think heaven is saying, thank God, since this one got born again, he's not growing, we just love him. No. Heaven wants you to grow. No, just stay with that we should no longer be what? Children. That means all this coming to the full knowledge of the measure of the stature of Christ. Are you following? It's adulthood. It's a growth process. That we no longer be children. Tossed to and fro. Today I have eternal life. I'm not sure I have eternal life. I'm at peace. Am I really at peace? I mean, that's a child talking. I believe God has forgiven me all my sins. But what? Tossed to and fro. I used to give my tithe, but one day I woke up and discovered that all of us are priests in Christ Jesus. To and fro. The Bible says, I love the way Message Translation puts it, no more prolonged infancy. That means there's a time to be an infant, but if it's prolonged, something is not too good. We'll not tolerate babes in the woods. Small children who are on easy mark for impostors. King James, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men. You know the trickery of men? Fashion. You know what I mean by fashion? Trends. If something trends. You know some believers. Some of you know some of the things that have been trending on the social media. And I saw babies. And I just saw babies. It was not hard to tell that, this is a baby. Somebody said, Pastor Rome, are you saying we shouldn't have an opinion? Yes, you don't always need to have an opinion. Maturity is staying away. Do you know what scripture says? I think in Corinthians, the Bible says, don't judge a thing before that day comes. So somebody said, what do you think about this whole saga? God loves me. And I'm blessed. And I'm saved. Are you with me? That's my opinion. I'm not here to speak for someone I don't know. Praise God. The reason I have pastors is not so that I can judge issues on social media. It's so that I can come to the measure of the stature of the man in Christ. Somebody said, no, you need to make a statement. No. Go and look at the life of Jesus. He didn't always make statements. We caught this woman right in the act of adultery. We caught him. We caught her. Right? It's right in the middle. And they say, Jesus, make a statement. Make a comment, a public statement. He just sat there and kept writing on the sand. They said, won't you say something? Do you know who he turned it back to? Not the actors. The people who wanted a statement. You are the first. She's never been in this kind of situation. Be the first to cast a stone. So you make the statement. And everybody dropped the stone. Do you know Jesus didn't say anything about the woman? He didn't say anything about the man who was with the woman. It is not his business. So someone said, how are we sure they caught her in adultery? That's not part of my work to find out. Jesus didn't say anything. Pilate stood and said, Jesus, are you the king of the Jews? Don't you know I have the power to release you? I ask you again, are you the king of the Jews? You say, well, you are the one who said it. He didn't make a statement. He threw it back to the people. They say, crucify him. Say, I already knew. Amen. Toes to and fro. No, pastors are eating too much tight. You see babies talking. Those are the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. These are plots. Can I give you a litmus test on what to say? You should ask yourself a simple question. Does this edify Christ? Does it lift Jesus up? Are you getting me? Because that's our work. Is somebody edified? Is somebody built? Is somebody comforted? If it's not, are you with me? Then Aaron is out of it. Somebody say, who are you? I'm Jesus. I'm like Jesus. But see, the Bible says we shouldn't be like that. We shouldn't be like that. We shouldn't be like that. Say amen.
Amen.
So growth is very important. Growth is very important. So we see the word in Romans chapter 12 verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That word transformed there is the word metamorphosis. It means an irreversible change in the upward direction. And the word that best describes metamorphosis is the various life stages of a butterfly. How the butterfly moves from the egg to the larva and then to the pupa. And then from the pupa it becomes a beautiful butterfly. Meaning that the day that that egg was laid, everything necessary for the butterfly is in the egg. But transformation is necessary to see it. If the egg doesn't go through the required stages, you will not see the beautiful butterfly. So we said the last time that the first stage is the egg stage. That is when we were conceived in the mind of God. The day you received Jesus, that was your first stage. It came with joy. I would say it's important for the believer to know what he was born from and who he is. That we're not born of corruptible things. Am I talking to someone? Like silver and gold. From our vain conversations, the Bible says we receive by tradition from our fathers. We're with the precious what? Blood of Jesus. So listen. At the egg stage, the believer is exactly like God. Because we have been regenerated from the genes of God himself. Eternal life is not a fluke, it's a reality. Are we together? So what marks this stage? Joy. Tell your neighbor joy. 1 Peter 1, 8. Let's read it. Do you know why when you got born again, joy was very important? It is the necessary inertia for that stage of your Christian walk. And you must learn to keep that joy flowing. That's why the day you got born again, you were so happy. You needed that joy to keep you going. Because there were things ahead. Look at what Peter said in 1 Peter 1:8. Whom having not seen, referring to who? Jesus. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you do what? Rejoice. You rejoice with joy, inexpressible and full of glory. Receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. That's why we sing, at the cross where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith. I received my sight, and now I am happy. That is the joy of salvation. Listen, every person that has truly experienced salvation is joyful. There is a joy in your heart, a force. You're excited. I'm happy. It's good to know your sins are forgiven. You know? That's why in our Christian work, we should never forget to reiterate it again and again. Because the devil is going to do everything to try to steal your joy. Remember when Jesus was teaching the parable of the sower? He said, those who fell among thorns are those who received the word of God with joy. The word of God should be received with joy. Amen. So joy is more than happiness. Happiness is a state that is determined by events. Joy is a force. So I didn't say the day you got born again, you were happy. Yes, you could be happy, but you need more than happiness. It's joy. Joy is a spiritual force that you have on the inside. When you give it motion, it's called rejoice. That's what the Bible can say, rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. So rejoicing is a choice. It has nothing to do with moods. Because I don't feel like rejoicing. You were the one who refused to rejoice. It doesn't mean the joy is not there. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Nehemiah 10. So I can choose right now to rejoice. Glory!
Glory!
I got off the bed one morning and I started dancing. You know, because I was listening to a message. I just got up and started dancing. And dancing. And rejoicing. And my wife got up. She didn't even know what it was. So she joined me. And we rejoiced for over an hour. Then I ended the prayer and everything. He said, okay, what were you rejoicing about? What were you rejoicing about? It's a choice. I said the devil was filling my mind with all manner of negative things, and I wanted to tell him he cannot steal my joy. And Jerry Savelle said, if the devil cannot steal your joy, he can't keep your goods. That joy of salvation, it never leaves. It doesn't leave. But you need to keep activating it. You don't have to sing like the psalmist. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation. You know why? He didn't have it in him. But the believer at the first stage of, at the inception of the new birth, is giving joy. Say amen if you can.
Amen.
Are we together? So I've got joy. Now go to verse 23 of 1 Peter. That having been born again, say
that's me.
Not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God which lives and abides forever. What were you born from? The word of God. If you want to see who you are, what do you look at? You don't try to trace the features of a mango by looking at a bean seed. Because the mango does not come from the bean seed.
Yes, sir.
You can't understand the nature of moimoi by looking at rice. It can go through different stages, but it didn't come from rice. You cannot look at your situation to determine who you are. You have to get back from where you were born, where you were regenerated. Where were you? Where is this new life generated from God's word? That's why we say, let every situation be a lie. Let the word of God be true. So when we are looking into God's word, we are not in self-denial. We are stepping into realities. I was born from the word. So every time I open my Bible, whatever I see there is who I am. Do you get it? That's why it's so important. It's so important as a child of God that you constantly read the Bible so that you will remember who you are. It's not so that the Bible gives you something new because it's already there. So that you will remember who you are. This is who I am. With no money in your pocket, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, for your sake he became poor. I, through his poverty, am rich. You need to remember, I am rich. So that if an uncle says, get out of my house, you wretch, you don't start crying. You get back into the word. This is where I was generated from. I know who I am. Then you give it a force. You rejoice. It's a choice. Then your uncle will come someday and say, sorry, I didn't know it so. Your boss calls you and says, if you want to go up in this company, you know what you have to do, baby. Look at your file in front of me, you know. Your appraisal is just here and I'm considering. So, if you are game, I'm game. Let's meet in room 419. Is that a prayer room? According to Reverend Ayeni, is that a prayer room? Why do you have to meet in a particular room to do appraisal? Come on. Do you get what I'm saying? You can unpolitely say, sir, thank you. But I know who planted me here. Praise the Lord. People succumb when they don't know who they are. That's why when you get born again, you must identify who you are. From where, which egg did you come from? The word. First, that verse 23, we'll move into next verse. Amen. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away. He said, but the word of the Lord. Meaning any physical thing you see, it fades away. He said, but the word of the Lord, this word from where you came, does what? It endures forever. That means you also endure forever. Say, now, this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. This eternal word is the same word which by the gospel was preached to you. Continue. Therefore, this is what I want you to see. This is the word that gave birth to you. When you receive the gospel, this is the package you receive. Therefore, because of where you came from, do what? Lay aside all malice. It's not compatible with the nature. All deceit. You lay it aside. All hypocrisy. Amen. Envy and all evil speaking. Then when you lay it aside as newborn what? Babes. Desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. That is stage two. Stage two is the larva stage. And if you study the butterfly, one of the things they say is that the larva, one of the things that characterizes the larva is that it eats a lot. That's why if they visit the caterpillar, you know what it does to your leaves? They eat a lot. It's characterized by a large appetite. This is a stage of consumption that after you get saved, are you with me? It's not just trying to dress to slay. It's that you begin to slay in the word. You begin to feed the hunger of God's word. as newborn babes. If you are a babe that doesn't feed the word, you'll be slayed. Oh. He said, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow. That word there is to lust. Have you ever seen somebody that is consumed with lust? See, if you see a man consumed with lust, you see how you'll just be following. They say your wife and children are waiting. Why are they waiting? Why are they waiting? Are they supposed to be waiting? When you talk, there's only one focus. That's how lust operates. It takes your energy. You focus it on one thing. And you are blind to every other thing. That's what the Bible is saying there. The hunger that comes with a new birth should be fed. Did you hear me? Desire the word. Get messages. Read it. Open your Bible. I remember when I stumbled on the word of faith. Books, you know, these days you have materials everywhere. Materials were not everywhere in those days. They didn't have CDs. We had cassettes, and cassettes were precious. When you bring one cassette to a place, over 50, 100 people will listen to it. Sometimes your cassette will end in another state. So how do you know? Because I have some till date that are not mine. They just ended up with me. I remember I can't forget the first time I went to see Reverend Kana and he had Word of Faith magazines. I couldn't sleep. I kept reading. He said, sleep, you are not living tomorrow. If you are living, I will give you. I said, okay, let me just read as many as I can. Until date, if you go to my study, I have cartons. I have cartons of CDs. I have cartons of tapes. I have cartons of books. These days, some people want to be transformed, but they can't even buy blood money. That hunger must be fed. I know I'm talking to someone. That is the second stage. Someone said, well, it's because you're a pastor. I was not a pastor then. I didn't even know. I was not planning to be a pastor. I was working at becoming a medical doctor or a businessman. I didn't think of becoming a pastor. God had not. Okay, he had called me. I didn't know. I didn't hear. So don't think it's because I was going to be a pastor. I was hungry for God's word. And anything I saw that could feed me, I'll listen to. I remember the first time I got a Kenneth Hagin camp meeting video. I watched it for hours. It was, VHS? When you finish, you will sit down and rewind it. Sometimes if your VCR is too slow, you buy manual wind. You put it so that you can make it fast. Fix it again and start it. My dad took me to go and see a doctor. My dad is not exactly a sickly man, but his friend was a doctor. He had to go and see the friend. So he said, let me see him off. It was in the night. And as we got there, we sat in the doctor's house, and I saw Kenneth Copeland. Four videos. I was trying to behave myself. At each instant, I'll turn and I'll look at it. Somebody, they were done with what they were saying, wanted to go and. Somebody said, no, don't ask, it will be rude. I said, why is it rude? I'm just asking. Those thoughts kept running through my mind. I was going, I came back. I said, excuse me, doctor, but can I borrow your... My dad turned and looked at me. I knew it was trouble, man. I didn't bring you here to come and ask for videos. But the man just said, Okay. You really want to watch them? You know Kenneth Copeland? I said, yes. He said, that's strange in this generation. He said, take all of them. I never returned them. I'm being honest. He didn't ask for them again. They are still in my library. Someone said, you stole them. No, any day he asks, I'll give him. Praise God. No, but the truth is, one day I went to his office, he said, how are you finding Kenneth Copeland? I said, interesting. I'm blessed. And he didn't say return it. So, let me shock you. The first center reference Bible I had was where I came to fellowship, somebody left the Bible on the chair. And they left. So when I picked it, it had a center reference. So I took it home. And I just kept reading it. You know, because it was helping my Bible study. I was consuming from every side. Then one day it dawned on me it wasn't my Bible. So I decided to go through it. When I went through it, I now saw it was a family Bible of a particular family in the estate. So that's what I did. I took it to them. I said, sorry, I've been with your Bible for a while. They kept denying that it's not theirs. I said, no, it's yours. They said, it's not ours. I said, it's for you. Then I opened and said, I showed them the name, Family Bible. They said, sure, it's their younger brother that wrote Family Bible on it. I said, okay, maybe it's from this house. They denied. They asked their father. Said, you shouldn't bother him with Bible talk. They said, Pastor, if you like it, go with it. Oh, my God. I should go with it. That Bible has produced almost everything you see in my life today. It's still there. I read that Bible till I wore the pages off. I mean, it tore behind. It's from that Bible I now, for the first time in my life, had money to go and buy a Bible. And today I have Bibles everywhere. Even in the toilet, I have Bibles everywhere. You must feed the hunger of God's word if you want to grow. That hunger that comes. You know what some people do? They say you are doing too much. Don't stay with people who tell you are doing too much if you are going for God's word. Some people don't want to hear God's word. They don't have time for those things. They say, you are doing too much. Are you the only born again? Are you the only one that is going to heaven? Run your race like you are the only one going to heaven. I didn't hear you say amen. Ephesians 4, 24. So hunger is important for growth. Don't kill it, feed it. He said, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true what? Righteousness and holiness. Amen. You know how you put on Christ? It comes through hunger. You put on Christ by digging into God's word. That means this Christ I have received, I want to put him on and wear him like a cloak. See, if you put on Christ, you will not be tossed to and fro. You will not. Don't wear Christ only to church. You didn't hear me. I said, don't wear him only to church.
Amen.
Jesus is not a church garment. It is your life. And you put on the new man. Put it on. Let it take your identity. How many of you have heard, I'm born again, whether you believe it or not? That's not a phrase for a believer. It's people that will look at you and say, we know you're a Christian. You say, you know, the word Christian is a nickname. When they saw them at Antioch, they saw Christ replicated. They say, Kai, these people are Christians. They are like Christ. I didn't hear you say amen.
Amen.
So the ultimate, this stage is that the Christ-like life is formed in you. It comes through the word. Say amen.
Amen.
Psalm 63 verse 1. One of my favorite psalms. Verse 1. O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. You know what it says? My soul
My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. That I may do what? So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power, to see your power and your glory. Amen. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. You cannot grow without hunger. If you find your life not getting hungry for the power and glory of God, fast and pray that that hunger will come back. If you find yourself not craving spiritual things, you should ask yourself, why am I like this? If you find out that, you would rather watch a night of a thousand, what do you call it? Love. Than watch a message. And it's your repeated attitude. You should ask yourself, why am I like this? I feel like when you go there and you're watching all those things that have derogatory comments and they're making fun of church and pastor and somebody shouting, hallelujah. And then you say, Kai guy, I really like this guy. Yeah, it cracks me up. I was shocked the day a believer came to ask me, Pastor Arame, what do you think about this? I said, think about what? I said, me? Watch some lewd, unattended to people moving around the house with no cause, no purpose. Are you me? Patron, you know, with all. They should watch my life. Yeah. And then you subscribe it. You're there. You're watching it. Guess what? You even say, I know that girl. She used to be born again. Is that not the reason you should be praying for her? Say amen.
Amen.
You should crave for God like the psalmist. Somebody said, but you watch football. Yes. Amen. But you know why I'm saying I watch football. Don't use my watching football to justify lewd things. The day they start pulling their shorts and walking stark naked in football, you can be sure. Jesus said, if your hand will stop you from entering heaven, cut it off. It's a sacrifice. And what is the pure milk of God's word? Let's go to 1 Peter again, chapter 2. 1 Peter 2. Let's see what the pure milk of God's word is. 1 Peter 2, verse 2. As newborn babes desire the pure milk of God's word, that you may grow thereby. Give me Message Translation, verse 3. What is the pure milk of God's word? You've had a taste of God. Message Amplified. Since you have already tasted the goodness and kindness of the Lord. That means what you should be focusing on and feeding on is the goodness of God. You know why some Christians have issues in their walk with God? It's their foundation. A baby that has been fed with milk is different from a baby that has been fed pap. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. Though they are all growing. I was telling somebody that ugly babies put in good situation, born in wealthy situations, look wonderful. And beautiful babies born in impoverished situation look like the environment. It's cost setting. Somebody put a picture of his baby on Facebook some time ago, and I'm like, oh, okay. And Pastor Abis said, are you not making a statement? I said, I don't have to make a statement. He said, why? I said, I don't want to tell lies. And everybody was writing, lovely, wonderful, beautiful. I said, maybe I need glasses. Maybe something is wrong. But when I saw the baby recently, I said, how come I didn't see that? I said, the boy has been conditioned.
You know what I mean? Our upbringings are very important. Some people got born again and the first thing they told them to do was works. The Bible says the first thing you should feed on after you get saved is the kindness, the goodness of God. If you get born again in the church where the first set of things they teach you is warfare, as important as that is, it will affect your disposition in life. Because as you are growing up in the faith, you feel that everything is trouble. That's why when you get a hold of what is taught in this place, stay with it and hear it until you are grounded and established in it. You know, they used to tell us in those days when some of us got born again, that what some of you are looking for is bread and butter Christianity. But I discovered that when you get born again, what you need is bread and butter Christianity. The goodness of God, His kindness, that your sins are forgiven. You should hear it again and again and again. Amen. That is the starter food for believers. That is how you thrive on the lava stage. Are you with me? Somebody blessed. You listen to it. You see something on faith, read it. What does it mean to trust God? You see something on hope, what does it mean to have hope? At this stage in your walk with God, you don't need eschatology. Where the Antichrist is going to come from, it's not my business. When he comes, I won't be here. You know, some believers get born again, you know, it's not been long they're born again and they're getting mixed up in too many things. Asking, where will the 666 be? It's going to be on the forehead, back of the hand, or at the back of it. An experience I've shown, if you look at those people and you start looking for them years after, they find themselves mixed up in all kinds of confusion, all kinds of situations. It's good to stay with the simple truth of God's word. Not somebody who is preaching until he gets confused. You know, some people feel if it's difficult, it shows maturity. The depth of understanding is revealed in simplicity. Some years ago, a guy, I don't call his name, he's a man of God now. He came for camp meeting. You know camp meeting. Reverend Tenney was there, everybody ministered and every, you know, and later I started hearing some things because he was sending me some apostolic newsletters in my email. So one day he asked me how I was finding those letters. I said, to be honest, I don't read them. He said, why? I said, I really don't want to know what's happening between Israel and what's going to happen in the millennium because I'm not going to be around. He said, no, you need to know those things. So he came for this meeting. And imagine all these great teachers were there, Kolemoyo, all these wonderful men of God. I guess his remark, he was telling somebody that all those people are shallow. That they are shallow. They are shallow. They don't have depth. And the person is a CFC member. So he said, your pastor too, but I like your pastor because his level of connectivity, you know, it's. And he was thinking maybe, you know, I'm not somebody looking for who to praise me. So I said, I beg. If you call Reverend Ada shallow, Konemoyo shallow, Reverend Joshua Tinde shallow, may I go under their shallowness? You know what I mean? And remain there. Listen, any spiritual truth you cannot teach a child. You don't understand it. That's why the parables of Jesus, even children can read them and understand them. I was understanding Jesus' teaching since. And some of those things he taught are very deep, powerful truths. Have you seen the parable of Jesus? It's like a man who went to sow seed. Everybody can understand. It's pictorial. There were stories. Everybody could connect with it. But do you know, those stories contain deep truths. So you should feed on deep things presented in simple ways. That's what some of your aptitude. You know, some people here don't say something, can't say something in a simple way. I know what I'm saying, even in church here. I don't like things that are, I don't like people who are overly complex. Can you get me a glass of water? Okay, what type of glass of water? You know, okay, can we analyze glass of water? Just get me the glass of water. You know, sometimes when I'm talking with people and I'm sitting up there, I feel like saying, so, where are we ending? You know, I had to teach my son Sam that. Because Sam is telling me one story. In the middle of the story, he will remember another story. He says, okay, daddy, wait, let me feel. You know, you go to another one, you start talking, he'll go there. I say, Sam, calm down. If you want to talk, finish one thing at a time. He say, okay, let me finish that one. As he's talking, in the middle of it, he says, do you know Tony? I know all these cartoon characters. Do you know Tony Stark? I say, did Tony Stark come to your school? He said, no, I want to tell you something. I said, that's what I'm teaching you. Stay with what you were saying in school. He wants... And some of you spiritually are just like that. You can't focus on one thing. That's why you come for meetings like this. Tomorrow, I'm sorry to say, I'm not trying to be... You will see demolition... You say? Vengeance by fire. Point and kill. You know, you see all those programs. And you are there. You are there. You took your Bible and went there. I must enter my house this year. What is that? Amen. Uncle, leave me. Let me drive my car. Is that? No, these are programs. It sounds funny, but things happen. Recently, I saw one. The mystery behind, I think, mystery behind two wives. And the guy said he's going to review why God wants people now to start marrying two wives. Polygamy, right? The mystery behind polygamy. Trickery of men. Trickery of men. You know why such people go there? Look at all those people. They don't read the word. They don't. See, anything I teach you here, you have the right to go and scrutinize it. You have the right to go home and check it up. It's when you don't check it up, they will tell you something else. It's part of growth. Don't take notes and drop them. Read your notes. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Stage 3, the pupa stage. I call this the active stage. When you keep feeding on God's word, revelation will come. It's revelation that transforms. When you keep feeding, revelation comes. This is the place of meditation. That means all these things you've been eating, you start meditating on them. You start thinking of them. You put them in your consciousness. That's where your mind begins to transform. You know what meditation does? It brings revelation. And what revelation does is that it begins to shift your perception and shapes your culture. Somebody with me? It shapes your mindset. You begin to think differently. That means you are growing. Remember when you first got born again and you say, I can never do this, I can never do this. Then you now come to a place, I can do this. Something is now shifting in you. That mindset is shifting. Transformation is by the renewing of the mind, not the changing of the clothes. I'm sure some of you, there's a particular way you used to dress before. Now you wonder why. That's after you've exhausted your liberties in Christ. You know what I mean? You know, the way God's word is changing you. You have just discovered that nobody's interested. You know what I mean? Sometimes when I look at my old pictures, I remember, what were you looking for? Somebody says, growth. You know, when I see some people in that stage, I say, no problem. They will also do what? Grow. It's when they stay there for too long, I wonder, why are you still there? I left there since. You should be living there by now. You remember when you used to get angry if they sold Safari for you or they sold Trans for you? You remember then? You'll be so angry. You'll be crying. No, no, I want Stonewash. Stonewash. Soko jeans. Baggy. You just come in like a masquerade. You understand me? You know, that's what you wanted. Now you're going to the tailor. You're telling them, you know, I want it this way. I want it this way. I want it this way. I remember the first time my parents made me agbada, I cried. I wore it with tears. It's a mindset. The difference between you then and now is that your mindset has changed. That's how it is with some Christians too. Until that mindset is changed, are you getting me? They will keep acting the way they are acting. Praise God. So you don't have to come to church. You know, it's this stage that you discover that nobody wants to see your breast. You've been showing it around and nobody's talking. When something changes in the mind, it begins to show on the outside. That at some point should grow. I saw some people dressed to church one day. I said, this one, do they read Bible? You know, sometimes are you preaching? I'm not preaching clothes. You saw yourself from home, then you come to church as trying to cover yourself. Who are you fooling? You know, you're doing this. You say, give me this, let me cover this. No. It's your mindset. So I like them. I like it. Short. Someone says, is there Christian dressing? No, but there's moderate dressing. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You know, so I don't need to come to church with my button to this place. Are you getting me? I'm cool like that. You know what happens to the larva? There is a stage of inactivity, then it forms a cocoon. You know why? There is more at the cocoon stage happening on the inside than is happening on the outside. This is when the character of Christ, the person of Christ, from the word you've been reading, begins to take shape on the inside of you. So you don't really care about what's happening outside. But there's something growing on the inside. Colossians 3. Verse 1, message. Colossians 3:1. Look at what the Bible says. So if you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, hey, please, church, we're going deeper.
Yes, sir.
Somebody's quiet now. If you're serious, I mean, if you're serious about living this new resurrection life. He says, if you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. Act like you're serious about it. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. That means we can see it in your pursuit. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorb with the things right in front of you. You know, some of you can't think far. Look up and be alert to what is going on around Christ. See, at this pupa stage, you are thinking more of Christ. Are you getting me? You become focused. You are purposeful. You don't just want to sing. You want to sing like Victor led us tonight, and the presence of God is available. You know what I'm saying? You know, you're not just trying to make a show. You are communicating something. You are serious about what you are doing. That's where the action is. See things from his perspective. This is growth. Not me. Lord, it's me. No, you begin to focus on Christ. How does Christ want it? What is Jesus' perspective on this issue? Your old life is dead. Your new life, which is your real life, even though invisible to spectators. You know, at this stage, you don't care what your former friends used to think. I don't care. Amen. I don't care. It's with Christ in God. He's your life. Verse 4, continue. When Christ, your real life, remember, shows up again on this earth, you will show up too. The real you, the glorious you. Meanwhile, be content with obscurity like Christ. That means you come to a place where it's not about what that my mate that we graduated school together, what the person thinks. See, what unbelievers think about you in the office, I really don't care. They say you pray too much. I don't care. They say, that one is acting holy, holy. Holy means different, means special. But sometimes you don't know the terminology. When you don't know terminology, you say, no, every time they be happy, me, they are holy. You should be happy they are calling you holy. Amen. Holy means unique, special, set apart. I'm unique. Not common. You just like someone say, you are gold. You say, no. I want to be like rubber. Or sand. I don't see unbelievers and I miss anything. I don't miss anything. Rather, compassion wells up in my heart. I don't see people, guy, you are drunk, you are vomiting, you are sick, and I'm saying, look at, am I missing something? I don't miss being an unbeliever. So, you know, some Christians are trying to be like unbelievers. Meanwhile, if you check the hearts of unsaved people, they are looking for what you have. They are wishing instead of you showing them the way, you know, something like just following them, just trying to be like them. You don't have to be like them. They are in darkness. Someone say, why is the spotlight on me? If you are in light, more people in darkness will see you than you will see people where? In darkness. So don't try to date the world's way. He just asked you out 2 weeks ago, your bag is in his house. So I don't know. I don't want to get married now. Eventually. Then eventually you didn't get to marry. You understand what I'm saying? You say he raped you. See, listen to me. Please be focused on spiritual things. Pursue things that matter. I always tell ladies, if you are precious, people who know value will come. Yes. Don't be in a rush. You are not late. You know, it's when you are cheap. Everybody. I know where to get gonjo. You know what I mean? The other day I went to a boutique. I said, this is where I'll be shopping from today henceforth. Someone say, no, this is your suit. I can take you somewhere. Where don't take me there. Don't take me there. Are you mean? I'm done with there. There's a place that if I take you, you can buy up to four. Don't worry, I'll go there and buy four too. Praise God. Someone say, what's the difference? It's perception. It's perception. I don't want to go there anymore. You know, when you are passing, you know, the place is full, it's glittery. You know what gonjo is, you know? The place is just shining. Just shining. Please, don't come under condemnation if you go there. You'll be surprised if people go there. They are even laughing and sitting next to you. But people go there. People go there. So if you go in there, I'll go there. Amen. Oh! No, just go there. Praise God. Don't get me wrong. Don't stay there. That's what I'm saying. How many of you know that shirt they call St. Michael's Catch Fire? You remember? Yes, guys, you remember? One time, I just had plenty of them. Plenty Catch Fire. People would travel. They say, Pastor Ramey, St. Michael's. So something happened to me. You know that St. Michael's, if you iron it and the temperature is high, it will turn to plastic. I'm not saying it will burn. It will be plastic. So I wore it one day, and one got burnt, so I wore another one. And those shirts, once you iron them, the line, if you like, wash it. Wash it for the next 2 years. That line you put there, what the Lord has done is permanent. So it was something like that. So I wore it, and after I just said, so I was with my friend. He's not in Port Harcourt, he works in Port. I was with him, some of you know him, I don't call his name. So we were having a program. So I got up. I said, Kai, hey, I'm tired. I will not wear St. Michael's again. He didn't say anything. So when I said it in the room, we're all bachelors. While I was preaching, I now said, look, I want to announce to you in church that my days of wearing St. Michael's, they are over forever. Come to my house tomorrow and pack, anybody who wants. So when we came in the night, you know, I noticed he was awake. And we're sleeping on one bed in the room. So I said, are you not sleeping? I want to put off the light. He said, Pastor, there was something you said today in your message that I'm not happy. I said, what? He said, no, when you're talking to people, you have to be sensitive to people's feelings. I said, what did I say? He said, do I know where he's coming from in life? What he has been through? I was wondering. I said, no, I even sat up. I said, what did I say? He said, do you know what it takes some of us to get the St. Michael's you were talking about in church? Be sensitive. I sat up. I say, read my lips, and I'm saying it to you. I didn't say you shouldn't wear it. I made an announcement that me here, no, I will not wear it again. It has nothing to do with where you are coming from. Please forgive me. You too, you don't know where I am coming from. We're all coming from somewhere, but I have made a public announcement. I'm not going to wear it again. You say, well, it's not correct. I off the light. It was even my house. I slept. When I got up in the morning, I said, if this thing really pain you, pack the ones already there. I can give it to you. Since where are you coming from? See, God is my witness. Not like I had clothes from another place. It was a mind shift. I'm just saying all this to bring you one thing. You need a mind shift from an unbeliever. This is what the scripture is saying. To Christ-like living. See, the day you make up your mind, say, I will never go there again. Watch me, you will not. You don't have to be a Christian and be talking gutter language, using F word. You know some Christians still do that. Oh, F. Amen. S. GD. I'm like, why are you still talking like that? Someone saying, no, it's my neighborhood. That's what I'm saying. It's not your neighborhood, it's your mindset. That means killing off. Tell your neighbor, kill it off. Yeah. Everything connected with that way of what? Number one, sexual promiscuity. Amen. This is the part of the Bible people don't like reading. Don't sleep with him. Don't say things got intense. Nothing got intense. Walk out of that place. The Bible says, leave sexual what? Promiscuity, impurity, lust. Do whatever you feel like, whenever you feel like it. And grabbing whatever attracts your what? Your fancy. Some brothers act as though they are the only ones who know beautiful ladies. We all do. But we walk away. Don't think that we don't know who is fine and who is not fine. We do. But the Bible says you can't keep doing whatever you feel like whenever you feel like it. You should have a discipline to say, no, it's okay. The Bible says that's a life shaped by things and feelings instead of by God. Have a mind shift. It's because of this kind of thing that God is about to explode in anger. It wasn't long ago that you were doing all that stuff and not knowing any better. That means what was the problem? You didn't know better. But you know better now. So make sure it's all gone for good. Then he adds more. Bad temper. Hey, who touched my thing here? Who touched my thing here? Hey, because you flare. You flare. Temper. Temper. That's why nobody's around you. You are too edgy, touchy. People stay around you. They don't know what you like and what you don't like. So everybody's walking on eggshells around you. You know, some people are like that. If you are too happy, they become sad. You drag them out this and say, why is she too happy? You understand those kind of people? You don't even know what offends them and what gets them happy. Even my daughter Yana doesn't like people shouting at her. I was watching a match and she was pestering me, you know, talking to me. I love my children. Amen. She was just all over. I said, Yana, please, can't you see I'm watching something? So she just quietly walked away, went to the mother and said, it's because of football, daddy is just shouting at me. I didn't even know. So she now quickly ran off. So I told her, I said, what did Yana say? He said, don't say it, mommy. Don't say it, mommy. I said, say, what did Yana say? Yana said, it's because of football. You know, because I saw her do her hand like this. So even Yana doesn't like people with bad temper. Somebody say, I don't know, that's how we are in our family. Ah, that's how we are. My father is angry. One day my father got angry and removed the roof. That's why you slept. That's why you guys slept without a roof. My mother's one is worse. Do you see this mark here? Do you see this mark? My mother beat me. That's what the Bible is saying. Quit that. You are now in the kingdom of God. The love of God is in you. You know better. If you don't renew your mind, you will be a believer living the life you never wanted. You know those people who abused you? 1 year. You know? You dog. What stupid. You know, you see some people still trying to call their children that. You fool. Jesus loves you. No, the real thing in your heart is you want to say, you foolish child. You don't like what your mother did to your father. Watch. If you don't renew your mind, you will be doing that to your husband. So you carry all your baggages and bring it to a marriage, and the man doesn't know where the thing came from. My pastor, Pastor Tom, said his father came from a family where they believe that women are like bread. And they will be telling, that you see women, what you want is inside. Inside bread, the main thing is inside. So you pull outside, then go inside and eat the bread. So he saw his father treat his mother. He said when he was growing up, he hated it. He said, but if he had not renewed his mind to God's word, where he was headed, are you getting me? After seeing the events around his life, he was going to be treating women like that. He said, but thank God for God's word. And today he's happily married. 3 wonderful children with a lovely wife. One day I saw Pastor Fanny telling Atom, Atom, not like, I said, truly, God's word has changed his life. Make sure it's all gone for good. Bad temper, irritability, meanness, profanity, dirty talk. Don't lie to one another. If you are not coming, say, I'm not coming. Truth doesn't kill. One day I was driving to Lokoji and I was passing through Ajakuta. I was just thinking, because they had closed the place, they were turning cars back, you know. And as I was coming there, to be honest, as if they asked me, where are you going to? Because if they asked me, where are you going to? As if I come there and they asked me, I said, I have a friend. I want to see in the quarters. God said, tell the truth. I said, it's true. When the man came there, I said, he said, why do you want to pass here? I said, the other road is bad. And I want to pass through the estate. He said, you just want to pass? I said, yes. Pass. If they refuse because you said the truth, you live with a clear conscience. You're happy. You didn't do the wrong thing. So you're done with that old life. It's like a filthy set of old fitting clothes you've stripped off and put in the fire.
If you are a stripper and you are now born again, burn those stripper clothes. Now you are dressed in a new wardrobe. Every item of your new way of life is custom made by the... This is the best life to live. With his label on it. All the old fashions are now obsolete. So be a designer believer. Wear God's design. You will be attractive to everybody.
We know that you were richly blessed by the teaching you just heard. And we encourage you to give attention to every bit of it, because that brings you another step closer to amazing testimonies. For more life-changing messages like this one, visit www.christfamilyministries.org.